Welcome to the podcast, From Our Home to Yours, with Nancy Campbell, founder and publisher of Above Rubies.
It's where we learn to forgive in that home.
Hello, ladies. Lovely to be with you again today. Can we pray? Dear Father, we ask that as we open your word today, that you will open it to our minds, that you will show us wondrous things from your word, that you will open up new vistas that we have never seen before. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. How wonderful that we can come to the Word of God and find wonderful truths for us as mothers, as we're building our families. Dear wives and mothers, you are in the greatest vocation in the nation, building godly families. There's no greater thing that you could be doing. It is so powerful. Mothers determine the destiny of the nation. And as you build into your marriage, to make it a beautiful marriage, to make it a godly marriage, and as you build into your family, to each child that God has given you, you are building a strong family that helps to build a strong nation. If we have weak marriages and weak families, we end up with a weak nation. But when we build strong families, we become a strong nation, because the nation is what its families are. So we, as mothers in the home, are doing a powerful work. And the devil knows the power of motherhood. He knows the power and influence of motherhood. And so he seeks to woo mothers out of the home. When mothers are wooed out of the home weakens, because it's a full-time job building your home. And it's so wonderful that we can come into the Word of God, and we can see from examples, even way back in the Old Testament, how God wants to build our marriages and build our families. I love the story of when David got a vision to build a temple for the Lord his God, and he didn't build it because God said to him, "It is good, David, that it is in your heart, but I don't want you to be the one who built it." Isn't that beautiful? David had a vision. It was a consuming passion of his to build a house for the Lord God of Israel. And although God was happy with David because he wanted to do it, he said to David, "David, it is good that it is in your heart, but you're not going to be the one to do it." I love that. Because sometimes, ladies, we have things that are in our hearts. We have a vision. We have a passion about something. And yet somehow it never comes to fulfillment. And we wonder, well, why have we got that passion, that vision? Maybe it's to pass it on to someone else. Because God said, "Oh, David, it's good. It's good that it's in your heart, but I want your son to build this house. You've been a man of war. You've shed so much blood, and you are the one who has brought peace to the land. So now your son, who will be a man of peace, he can build the temple." And so God wanted his temple built in a time of peace and rest. And so we go back to the story, and we can just read and get the feeling and the vision and the passion that David and Solomon had for building this house of God. And David passed on his passion to Solomon. And we read in 1 Kings chapter 5, verse 5, And Solomon is now speaking because David has passed on this vision to his son. And in verse 5, he says, "And behold, I purpose to build a house unto the name of the Lord my God." He didn't just think it was a good idea or, "I might like to do that sometime." No, he said, "I purpose to build a house." He had a purpose. He had a vision. And I believe, dear mothers, we need to have that too. Sometimes we can be mothering and just going about our daily, you know, routine in our family. And we just go from day to day, but we don't have a vision. I believe we need a vision. We need to know what we are doing, have a passion, have a vision. And so get that. Ask God to put that passion and vision in your heart. I remember as I was raising our children, there was a scripture, 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and it says, "And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." And I took those words, I took that prayer as my purpose, my vision as I was raising our children. I wasn't satisfied to only care for them physically. I wanted to build into their lives and not just physically, but spiritually and emotionally and mentally. And my longing was that I would be able to present my children before the Father on that day when we will all stand before him, that they would be whole in body, soul, and spirit. Now, sometimes we have a vision and we may not totally fulfill it, but if we have a vision, we're going to be working toward it. Now, you may have a different vision. God will give you a vision as you ask him, but if you can't think of anything else, you can take that scripture too. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Anyway, we go over to Chronicles, 2 Chronicles chapter 2, and here the same story is repeated because the stories are repeated in Kings and Chronicles. And this time it says, let's see, it's verse chapter 2, verse 1. "And Solomon determined to build a house for the name of the Lord." So here we see the word purpose and we see the word determined. They are strong words, aren't they? But if we go back to the Hebrew, the word is actually amar, A-M-A-R in the English, and it literally means to say, to declare, to boast, to publish, to report, speak, answer, command. It mostly it is used of speaking something out. This word is used 6,000 times in the Bible. Only 18 times it's used does it use a different word than either speak or say or publish, as it does in these two scriptures. Let me give you some examples of where it uses the word speak or say. Leviticus 20, 1 and 2, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Amar." Again, "Thou shalt say, Amar, to the children of Israel." Jeremiah 34:2, "Thus saith the Lord God." That's the same word. "Thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, go and speak." There it is again, Amar, "to Zedekiah, king of Judah." So usually it's translated, speak, boast, command. And so when it's talking about Solomon purposed, Solomon determined to build a house, you notice that he also speaks about it. And he spoke out his vision. If you really have a vision that you're passionate about, you'll speak about it. So don't be afraid, ladies, to speak your vision about building a family for God. When someone asks you, well, what do you do? Well, I'm building a godly dynasty. Now, that would really let them know what you're doing, wouldn't it? Now, have a good statement ready of your purpose and your vision. What am I doing? Oh, I'm doing a great work. I'm building a godly family in this deceived world. And speak out your vision. As you speak it out, it becomes more real to you. You can even speak it to your children. Children, this is my vision. I'm building a godly family. And children, we're all in this together. You are building it with us, with Daddy and Mummy. Together, we're building a family for God. Let's all put our hearts into it. And so it's good to confess out what you are doing. So important. Now, as we were reading in this passage here, 2 Chronicles chapter 2, Solomon goes on to speak out what his vision is. I mentioned this last week in our podcast when I was talking with Nadia. Let me read it again. Verse 4, behold, I build an house to the name of the Lord my God, to dedicate it to him. See, he's speaking it out now. His purpose, his determination. And what is he doing? He's wanting to dedicate this house to the Lord, and to burn before him sweet incense, and for the continual showbread, and for the burnt offerings morning and evening, on the Sabbaths, and on the new moons, and on the solemn feasts of the Lord our God. And the house which I build is great, for great is our God above all gods. But who is able to build him a house, seeing the heaven of heavens cannot contain him? Who am I then, that I should build him a house, except only to burn sacrifice before him? That was his greatest purpose. And he's saying, who am I to do it? Sometimes we feel like that, don't we? Wives and mothers. Sometimes we feel like utter failures. Here we are, we're trying to build this house, this godly family, and oh my, it doesn't seem very perfect at all, and sometimes it doesn't seem very godly. And I know there were times when I used to feel like a failure as I was raising our children. It's a huge task, and it's a bigger task than we are capable of, and yet, on our own strength, of course, but God is with us, and we have to come to him and seek his wisdom and seek his strength, because he's promised to be with us and help us in this great task. And although Solomon said, who am I to do this? But I'm doing it just for one thing, the main thing. I've mentioned other things, but this is the main thing, to sacrifice before him. And he was talking about the morning and the evening sacrifices, which were to take place in the temple. They had taken place in the tabernacle. But now the tabernacle had been destroyed. It had been in Shiloh for about 360 years, but then it was taken by their enemies. And so now they're wanting to build this temple. And I think this is something we should get into our hearts, precious mothers, because this is here in the Word of God. Yes, it's literally telling us about Solomon's vision, but every word that God has written is written for our learning and our admonition. Every single thing is a type for us today. And so we should have, like Solomon had, this longing, this passion, this is the main thing I want to do in my home. And that is meet with God every morning and evening, because that's what the sacrifices were about. Of course, every sacrifice pointed to Jesus, to the Lamb of God, who would be the ultimate sacrifice. And when Jesus came and when he sacrificed his body and shed his blood for our sins, it was one sacrifice. Never did there have to be another sacrifice for sins. All those sacrifices back there in the Old Testament, they pointed to Calvary. But they also pointed to meeting with God, because he says also in the scriptures, there will I meet with you. And God was always there, because it pointed to his Son coming to be the sacrifice for our sins. And God wanted them to do it every morning and every evening. They sacrificed upon the altar, the brazen altar. And in Leviticus chapter, what is it? Leviticus chapter 12, I think. I'd like to just give you that scripture. Leviticus chapter, I'll have to get it for you later. But in Leviticus, it tells us about how God told Moses to pass this on to the priests. And he said, you are to keep this fire on the altar burning continually. This altar where you're going to sacrifice, he said, it must never go out. Now, the amazing thing is that when they dedicated this altar, when they had built it, the fire of God came down. It was a supernatural fire from God. But God said to the priest, you've got to keep it going. And the way you'll keep it going is to attend to it every morning. And you come and you take out the ashes and you put on the wood. But that's not enough. If you leave it till next morning, it will go out. And so they had to come and attend to it in the evening as well. Because he said, this fire must never go out. And God repeats those words two times. And he says the same thing to us. When we come to know him and he lights that fire in our spirits, he says, I don't want this fire to ever go out. I've lit this fire in your heart by my precious Holy Spirit, but I want you to keep it burning. You don't keep it burning in your own strength. It will keep burning by the power of the Holy Spirit, but I want you to attend to that every morning and every evening. It's a biblical principle. And so every morning we come personally to the Lord, and then we come as families. We gather our families around and we come into the presence of the Lord. If there's anything in our hearts that's evil, or it's not pleasing to the Lord, it's like the ashes. We've got to take it out, get rid of it. And then we put on the wood, the Word of God. It's like the wood. It's fuel to keep our fire burning. And so we read the word and personally, and then we gather our families to read the word to them, because we want to keep this fire of God burning in the hearts of every one of our children and in our families. We want to be a home that is set on fire for God. The only way we can keep the fire burning is come morning and evening. But then he also talked, did you notice, about burning sweet incense? Oh, that was talking about the golden altar of incense. And that altar was just, it was in the holy place, just by the curtain before you went into the Holy of Holies. And the altar of incense, which they also had to burn, when, you can guess, every morning and every evening, they had to burn this beautiful sweet incense. It was called sweet sweet incense, and it filled the holy place. Oh, it was so beautiful. But then as the day wore on, it would be fading, and God said, no, you've got to come back again. You've got to come back in the evening, and you've got to light it again, because I want my home filled continually with my sweet presence. And the altar of incense speaks of prayer and intercession and praise and worship. We see that in Revelation chapter 5. And here it is, we're reading in verse 8. And when this is John looking in to the heavenly realm, it's amazing. When John looked into the heavenly realm and he saw what was there, he saw an altar of incense. Now, you see, the altar of incense back in the tabernacle was only a type of the heavenly one. The Bible tells us that. And so now, John is looking at the heavenly one. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. There, the Bible specifically declares what the incense is. It's the prayers of the saints. We go over to chapter 8. And John is still seeing things in the heavenly realm. Verse 3, and another angel came and stood at the altar. This is the gold, and it was covered with gold, the golden altar of incense, having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. Now, in the tabernacle and the temple, and of course, Solomon was building this temple to put the golden altar of incense in it, and it was right before the Holy of Holies, which contained the Shekinah glory of God. Now, as John looks into the heavenly realm, he sees this golden altar right before the throne of God. And the prayers of the saints are coming up. Oh, precious, lovely ladies. This is not just some story we're reading about in the Old Testament. We're reading about something that is now and is to come. And John saw it in the heavenly realm, and the prayers going up as we meet together as families, morning and evening. Our prayers are going up as incense before the Lord. How much incense is going up in your home, darling ladies? A little bit of incense? Do you, you know, oh goodness me, life's so busy. Oh, wow, how can we fit this in? And sometimes, you know, you have some Bible reading or prayer together, and so you have a little bit of incense. But no, that's not the picture. God wants much incense going up from our family. Much incense every morning, every evening. Oh, let's get a passion like Solomon had. Oh, now we are not, of course, no longer are we building a real, actual, literal altar, and we're not building a brazen altar, and we're not doing sacrifices, and we're not lighting the candlestick in the holy place. Of course, that had to be lit every morning and every evening too, with the morning and evening principle was so powerful back there. But it's for us today, and we're not doing it literally. Well, we're doing it literally, but not with altars and sacrifices. We are doing it by coming into God's presence and gathering our families around. Now, precious mothers, can I ask you a little question? No, it's a big question. Do you have that passion and vision that David and Solomon had? to build a house for the name of the Lord. To build a house, oh, the most important thing he wanted to do was to sacrifice before him, to come into his presence, to pray to him and to bring, to just send up much incense, to get fueled every morning and evening with his precious word, which is our fuel, our sustenance, our life. Now, if that is not your consuming passion for your home, what is? What is your passion? Is it just to... Sometimes we just get taken over and overwhelmed with all we have to do, and it's just getting through each day. And there's so much to do. I know, darling ladies, I know. Sometimes you feel overwhelmed. There is so much to do. But we can't do everything. I realize that. I can't do everything. You can't do everything. And so we have to work out what is the most important to do. Do you know that we've got to get rid of a lot of other things we do? There are so many superfluous things we do, so many things that we really don't need to do. We've got to work out the most important things that we have to do. Of course, when you are a new mother with little ones around you, you won't get much else done in the day except just to care for those, your baby, your nursing baby, and your little toddlers. But you're not wasting time. No, it's powerful. Oh, that's beautiful. God sees it. It's just beautiful unto him. And do it unto him. But as your children get older, then you get busier in different ways. And then you're not just, having to do everything for these little toddlers, but now your children can do things for themselves. But now you end up running them round everywhere and going here, going there, and this, and life today is just like a rat race. Darling ladies, it's not meant to be a rat race. Can you take a moment to get before the Lord? Ask him what's the most important. Can we come back to this passage of Solomon? What was most important to him? He was a king, and he made that kingdom of Israel, the greatest kingdom in the world at that time. It was the richest kingdom of the world at that time. I mean, there was hardly a thing that Solomon didn't do or think of. It was so unbelievable if you just read about it. And yet still his greatest passion was to make that temple a place where he would come as the king of a huge, incredible, rich, busy kingdom. He made time every morning and every evening to sacrifice before the Lord and to come into his presence. Now, yes, we do have to sacrifice other things, but really, this word sacrifice, you know, sometimes I hear mothers say, "Wow, I sacrificed my career to come home for my children." Well, praise the Lord, they came home to their children. But I don't really think it's quite the right word. Maybe you have also done that, dear mother, but you know, you didn't really sacrifice your career to come home to your children, because this is your greatest career. And now when we are thinking of, you know, how do we fit into our family lives, a gathering together of our family every morning and every evening, how can we possibly do that? Help, we are just too busy. We've got too many things we have to do. No, you've got to put some of those things aside. And it's not sacrifice, because they're not as important as the most important thing. And I have realized that the most important thing in our lives is to meet with our Maker, with our Savior, with our great God, morning and evening. And so in our home, I arrange my whole life around these two times of the day. Everything else fits into them. I don't ever put them aside because they are the most important. And if something else doesn't get done, well, who cares? But this is the most important. Even back in the days when all our children were home, many years ago now, and our children were getting older and our sons were getting older and they were out at work, but still living at home. And I still expected them, even as older children in late teens, early 20s, to be back home for the evening meal, where we would enjoy fellowship together around the table and sit and talk and discuss and debate and really heart to heart get into things together. So exciting, such wonderful times, but where we would also never leave the table until we opened the Word of God and we prayed. And I would say to them, you've got to be home unless there's something specific on and there's a good excuse and you let me know. Otherwise, you are home for this evening meal. It's not, oh, well, we just come in if we want and if we don't, we just go where we like. No, this, while you live in our home, this is the vision of our home. So you fit in with it. Now, when you leave home and you begin your own family, then you start what you want to do. But in our home, while you're under our roof, you do the vision that God has given to us. And this is what we are meant to do as parents. Dear precious mothers, there's something happening in our society today where parents are losing their authority. They're losing their grip on their children. Their children are just doing what they want, going here and there. They seem to rule the house. No, you are in charge. You have the authority. God has given it to you and He holds you responsible. And every child under your roof is still responsible to you and to your vision and to your plan of the day until they leave home. And so sometimes we've got to just pull things back in again. All right. And so we're reading about this passion and I've lost my place. So I'm going back again to 2 Chronicles chapter 2. And maybe you're just listening on your earphones, but later you can go back when you've got some time and you can read this chapter over yourself. Also, you can go to transcripts. Did you know that? If there are things you missed when I'm speaking to you, you can go back and look up the transcript and maybe catch the scripture or get things that you really wanted to check out again. Sometimes we're a little bit behind in the transcripts, but we eventually catch up. All right, here we go. And so we keep reading down 2 Chronicles chapter 2. Let's go down to verse 9. Even to prepare me in timber in abundance. For the house which I am about to build shall be wonderful, great. Wow, he uses two amazing adjectives there. Wonderful, great. Oh, and in verse 5, he also uses the word great. And so we have got to lift our vision, dear precious ladies, to not just build, we're just building a family like everybody else down the street. No, we're going to have a bigger vision. Our vision is great. It's wonderful. And we're building a family that's actually wonderful and great. But before I even get on to talking to you about what those words really mean, we better look at the word build, because that comes first, doesn't it? For the house which I am about to build That's what we're talking about, building. Proverbs 14 verse 1 says, every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. The word build in the Hebrew is bana, and it has just more than one meaning, like so many Hebrew words. It means, of course, to build. We understand that, of course, don't we? And so with building, it's something you just have to keep at. Building a house doesn't happen in a day. It's little by little, day by day, we build and strengthen our marriage and our home. Just another little thing every day. It's good to think, precious ladies, of just adding a little more to your building project every day. Just add a little something more to make it bigger. Because when you're building, you don't get less, you get bigger, don't you? And I'm sure you're not wanting to build a little shack. You want to build a big home for God, like Solomon wanted to build this big temple. And so we try and add a little bit each day, like building your marriage. Today, think of some little thing you can add to your marriage. Can you think of something special you could say to your husband when he gets home from work? Can you think of some way you could encourage him or bless him or just have some special little thing waiting in the bedroom for him when he comes in to change after a hard day's work? Oh, just think of some little thing. And that's adding. That's building up your marriage for your children. Think of something special to do for them each day or some new encouraging word to say to them. But keep building. Also contained in the word build is the word repair. And, oh my, that's part of building, isn't it? Because we know life's not perfect. Oh, goodness me, there's always hurts and rifts coming in relationships, maybe amongst the children, maybe between husband and wife. Oh, my, these things happen because we're not perfect. We are fleshly people. And so we have to keep repairing. If there comes a rift, we never let the sun go down upon our wrath, our anger. We always put it right. We say sorry. We keep short accounts with one another. We keep repairing. Even our physical homes, they need repairing. We have things falling down around our ears. My, we have to put up new spouting around the house. We have to do this. We have to do that because it kind of wears out and no longer working, and you have to do the same. Well, it's the same in our relationships. We have to keep working on them, repairing them. There's another thing about Benar too. Now, you won't expect this one, and I'll just finish with this on this session. And it also means to bring forth children. Well, you don't expect that from building, do you? But go to the Strong's Concordance and you'll find it right there and right before your eyes. It says to bring forth children. And there are a number of scriptures that use that word. For example, Ruth 4 verse 11 speaks of Ruth and it says, "The Lord make the woman that has come into your house like Rachel and like Leah, which two did build the house of Israel." Now, how did Rachel and Leah build the house of Israel? Did they do it with hammer and nails? No, they did it by bringing forth children, the 12 sons of Jacob and a daughter. There may have been more daughters, we don't know. But this is how they built up the house, by bringing forth children. Every child you bring into your home builds up the family a little more. And it adds so much to the family. Oh, I can't even think of how people want to stop having children. Stop at maybe two or maybe three. My, that's only a little building. Of course, we know that, oh, there are some who long for children and they just don't come. And that's in God's hands. God sees your heart. He sees your longing. And he sees that it is good. There are some mums who've only been able to have two. And yet, the next generation, God gives them many, many, many grandchildren. But it's what's in our hearts. But it is also true, literally, that every child does build up that family more, brings more blessing, more joy to the parents, more joy to the siblings. And so, and then, of course, it's building up the generations because each child we have is not just a child for us. It's a child that is going to one day build another dynasty. And so we are building dynasties and generations for God. We're building. Now, when I started building our family, it was just Colin and me. Then we had our first child. But then we had more. And now we have many grandchildren. And now we have great grandchildren. And the building is getting bigger and bigger. But let me pray. Dear Father, we thank you for how you give us vision in your word. You don't leave us just hanging and not knowing what to do. We pray that you will give us a vision like David had. And like Solomon had, to build a house for you, a family that is strong, a family that walks in truth in the midst of all the deception of this age. Lord God, help us to put into our homes that which is the most important. Help us to, Lord God, to see that the morning and the evening principle is your plan. It's a way we keep the fire going. It's a way we keep the sweet incense burning in our homes. It's a way we keep the anointing of the Holy Spirit continually burning in our homes. Please, Lord God, give us a consuming passion, just as David and Solomon had. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen.